Fantastic. We're so pleased that the school has fixed the heating. Because a couple of weeks ago, it was freezing in here. So we're very grateful that they've got an engineer, sorted it out, and it's a little bit warmer today. Fantastic. Brilliant. Now today, we're very excited. We've got Gunnel's going to be speaking this morning. And just for those of you that don't know Gunnel, if you think her accent, you can't quite place her accent. She lived for a number of years here in North London, just up the road at Dartmouth Park Hill. So there's a little twinge of North London. She's actually from Sweden. She's gone back. She's living in Sweden at the moment. Comes over here regularly. So been part of New Life for a long time. Became a Christian here a number of years ago. It's a great pleasure today to have Gunnel speaking. So let's give her a really, really warm welcome. Gunnel.
To rely on the Holy Ghost. Oh, sorry. No notes. I'm going to rely on the Holy Ghost today. So, my little darlings, it's all about love today. And I read somewhere that there is four kinds of love. And I can also see on Facebook, you see, sometimes it makes me happy. I can see a little speck of Eros love. There are people here who have been married for many, many years, and they go on romantic dates. Some people go to the Gherkin even. But it's just really lovely. It's in place. We thank God for that, don't we? And I have to say also that I am passionate about praying for marriages, for families, for children. It's high up on the list. It's not easy. Somebody told me it's not easy to be married for 50 years to one person. But we pray for good marriages. We pray for marriages that can last and grow and go through the valleys and the hills and come back again. We pray for that, don't we? And God has defined family, and we believe God, don't we? But, alas, it's God's love. God's love we're going to talk about today. God's love that brought us salvation, hope, joy, peace, a personal plan for your life, healing, freedom, a way in, and when we need it, a way out, excitement. The Holy Spirit is exciting, very exciting. And this wonderful eternal life in heaven one day. What a God. And all this in the name of Jesus. You know, when Paul asked me, could I speak about God's love? I thought, how wonderful. What a wonderful area. And then when I saw the size of God's love, I was so struck down by the size of mine. It's like a tsunami coming in and a sort of bottleneck going out. And I want that bottleneck to widen, to express more love, to make love look like something. And I thought, well, I've got 2-3 weeks to go. Maybe my love can change drastically in that time. But of course, everything takes time, and I think if we are willing, then our love will do just as it is today. His amazing love, his agape love, I say it in Swedish, you see, his agape love, his supreme love says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's from Luke 23 and 24. Jesus was on that cross. He was separated from God. God was not with God, was separated from God completely, took all our sins, and how that felt, we shall never understand. He cleansed us clean from the inside out by hanging on that cross, separated from his Father, in great agony. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We've already heard a summary of the whole Bible, really, from John 3:16. I think we've heard it a couple of times, but it is like a summary of the whole of the Bible. Let's say it together. We don't need to have it up on the screen. Let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that everybody who ever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It doesn't matter if we live or die. If we live, we have him here, and the Holy Spirit living in us. And when we die, we'll be with him. To have this eternal picture is absolutely wonderful. I know you had a couple of beautiful messages from Paul a few weeks ago about heaven. Absolutely, oh, such a wonderful gift. So surely the greatest gift of all is salvation. It surpasses all other things. And I think you probably remember the day it happened to you when you said your yes to the Lord. I remember I was sitting down there crying for about an hour and a half. Vicky helping me to understand that God wanted me in spite of myself. And all this dirt just running around the table in probably a good pint of tears. The greatest thing of all, to come to repentance and be set free. To have all this stuff running off you. Some people had it from childhood very, very early. That's the best. God told me that's the best. I've got nothing to sort of boast about because I found God when I was 15. No, it's when you had him from the start that is so wonderful. Many people come to Christ, as they say, when they are teenagers. The memory of that is very, very strong in everybody's life. God wants the whole world to be born again, to be saved. That at the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's from the Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. God is inviting people to come to him again and again, searching, looking, loving, inviting. He's given us free will, not religion. Every religion has a free will. Some heads will have to come off. But in Christianity with Jesus, it's free will. We can say yes or no. If we say no, he'll invite us again and again. I think people don't always realize how much he invites and how often he invites and says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. How many people do you think need rest and peace? A few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit told me to go to my sister, to tell my sister, who is the ultimate liberal humanist and scoffer at Christian values. She thinks it belongs in the Iron Age or something. That God was looking for her and that he loves her. Oh boy, oh boy. He told me about 3 or 4 times, tell your sister that I'm looking for her and that I love her. The opportunity arose. It was a Saturday. I was at a big prayer meeting and the telephone was on silent and suddenly I could see this pumping, sister, sister, sister. And I had decided that I was going to tell her before sunset. So I took the phone and I dashed out of the auditorium. I steadied my nerves and I said to her, I have something to say to you. And I could feel sort of, ooh. God has told me that he's looking for you and that he loves you. Never mind about the reaction. But I thought that it would be a very long time before I heard from her again. But she rang. About 3 days later, she rang. She said nothing about what I had said. She was friendly, chatting away. A few weeks after that, at my sister-in-law's funeral, it's a little church, my sister came up to me and took my hand, and together we walked up to the front of the church. She held my hand, and she took the other hand and put it on the urn of my sister-in-law's ashes, and she said, a very firm Jesus. You know, that's the hardest name in the world to say if you're a sort of liberal humanist. Something is happening on the inside. I was sort of racking my brain thinking, what rhymes with Jesus? What might she have said? But I just know that there was nothing in Swedish that rhymes with Jesus. So God is looking for people step by step, day by day. He has a plan that we can't even begin to work out. So it's towards salvation. In Romans 5 and 8, it said, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, he's searching people. He hates, he loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. It's easy to forget sometimes how much love God loves Muslims, people belonging to ISIS. He loves everybody, and he's looking all the time and inviting. So we pray for our nearest and dearest, the ones that are on our prayer list, friends and colleagues, all people that God has put on our hearts. We pray that their knees will bow at the sound of his name. And you know, some of us, I know we've had to wait for a long time. I know over the last 6 months, a few things have happened in this church after years of praying. And we just have to be patient. He's working away. It's possible that everything is going to be speeded up, I think, in the end times now. Maybe we don't have to wait for 20, 30 years or something for our prayers to be answered in that direction. In Isaiah, this is a verse I pray for my prayer list, for my nearest and dearest. It's from Isaiah 54 and 13. I add a little bit there and you realize when I do. "My children," and I add "my grandchildren," "and all the people on my list will be the Lord's disciples, and their peace shall be great." You see, we don't just want people to, God doesn't want people to just be sort of born again. He wants disciples, doesn't he? So it's such a good verse to pray, not least for the family. We shall never give up, shall we? We shall be like the stubborn widow. We shall go on and on and on and pray, get a bit angry sometimes. And at the same time, it's appropriate to be completely relaxed, of course, as well. We don't need to be desperate like the world is desperate. But we are okay being desperate in prayer. So what about his children? What about the ones that walk with him? What's going on with us? Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 say, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that we have been saved through faith." It's by grace you have been saved. And it's through faith, we know that. "We are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come." That's from 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creations. God loves that we said yes, but now starts the walk. The growing and the changing, as they say in year 6. He loves us and wants us to develop our character. He wants us to mature. Somebody said something very interesting, that our character has to be strong enough to carry the gifts. And that is so good. We need to be strong in character in order to carry the gifts he gives us. It's possible that we might get a bit puffed up otherwise, could be a bit too pleased with ourselves or something and rely too much on ourselves. So we need to mature and develop our character. We often say, "Please make me more like Jesus." Do we know the cost of that? Are we prepared to stay the course? John Wesley said, "One of the greatest evidences of God's love to those who love him is to send them afflictions with grace to bear them." We are taken through the fire. We are tested, knowing that God will not take us through anything that he hasn't equipped us to handle. That is a great, great comfort, isn't it? We can trust him totally in this. as hard as it can be sometimes, we will be able to handle it. And that the purpose for challenges is to teach us and make us stronger, tougher, softer, more loving, and to burn forth the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't just land on a plate in front of us. It's a terrific process. Is there about 7 of them, or is it 9? And I dare say they are getting a bit tougher as they roll on, the fruit of the Spirit. God is testing us. My Christmas this year started in the most joyous way. Wonderful preparations going on for weeks and weeks. I was cleaning, decorating, shopping. I felt such joy. My family was coming, all of them. It hadn't always been the case that we could all gather at my place in my home in Sweden. We'd been scattered a bit. This was the second year, and I was rejoicing. This joy lasted about 18 hours. Until on Christmas Day at lunchtime, it ended in such shock and disappointment and pain that it was hard to carry on. In the flesh, I would have shouted in anger, dashed into the bedroom, and I would have got into the bed, and I would have been lying there screaming and crying for 3 to 4 hours probably. I would have cancelled Father Christmas' arrival in the evening. It would have been pandemonium, thankfully. Thankfully, this didn't happen. Holy restraints followed. So what was the point in all this? Sparing you the details. It was an instant boot camp training session for me and a couple of other people who were there. It was out of the blue. It always is with me. I remember on my way to a wonderful holiday, the Lord broke my hamstring. Not really. I couldn't go. And I was healed within 3 days, actually, of not being able to walk. Anyway, it's out of the blue. Don't know how it is for you. My training is heavy-duty boot camp. So the point of this was for me to learn to keep my peace, remain in love, trust God, be forgiving, and to be trained to react differently the next time. I said that was the point. Maybe 3 years down the line, wouldn't have moved me, wouldn't have touched me in that way. Persecution is coming. It already has. For Christians, internationally, nationally, and personally. Friday's Daily Telegraph, we all read that one, don't we? Friday's Daily Telegraph had an article that was so menacing and cynical and ugly, and it was all because a 30-something radio presenter, breakfast show or something, who was a Christian, had said that he wasn't prepared to work on a Sunday because he, for obvious reasons, he didn't want to work on a Sunday. And that was attacked. A, that he was a Christian, and B, that he had the nerve to say that he wouldn't work on a Sunday. It was a very ugly article, and I was hoping he wouldn't read it. Actually, it was that ugly. So persecution is coming, and I had to say there was a bit of that at Christmas, yes. Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" In verse 37 it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And it says a little further down, just to summarize it, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Changes are here, big time. The world is changing culturally, geographically. We are in a battle. The darkness is getting darker. The light, good news, is getting lighter. This is the time to stay and not run away. The wonderful R.T. Kendall, evangelist, preacher and teacher, said, "We don't necessarily praise God for the trial, although we will later on." And in Timothy 2:3-12, it says that all who desire to love, to live godly, will face persecution. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So in my Christmas testing, God almost immediately gave me Romans 2. And I feel very, very strongly that this is for me and this is for you. We live in such a time that this verse is going to have to be vital, wonderful, comforting, revolutionizing. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It was so fitting to have that it is possible for us to renew our minds by hanging on to him, wanting it very much and praying about it and standing on his word. There are more verses, but this is a fantastic verse to stand on. We know that it's a living world and word, and he can renew our minds. I listened to Open Doors. There was an interview with a woman who works with human trafficking in Cambodia. Terrible stuff. I shan't go into details. Involving small children. And she's sort of doing what she can with her team to save some of them from the human trafficking and sexual exploitation. The interviewer said, how do you come away from this and go home to your family and your four children with all this going on your mind and playing on in your thoughts? And she said it's Romans 12 and 2 that helped her. It's possible not to completely forget it, but for it to be pushed away so it's not in your focus anymore. And it's so generous that he says that you will be able to, in a way, just stand back, test and approve what God's will is. He's going to change something, not just that you're renewing your mind, but he's going to change something personal, something big in your life, whatever that might be. Then we can approve what God's will is, the good and pleasing and perfect will. Well, that word took me through and out of dwelling on what had happened at Christmas. I know that the Lord is up to something with all of us. He wants us to live in such forgiveness and in such love and in such renewal of our minds. He wants to soften our hearts and harden our foreheads. You know, I had to say that if I had been more mature, if I had had a bit more boot camp testing in the past, I've had a few, but if I'd had a few more, I probably would have let this thing just come off me, you know, and understand why it was said and have a sort of like water off a duck's back. You have to be like that sometimes, Paul, don't you? Water off a duck's back. We all have to. It's not easy to be like that, not to take things on board and dwell on it and let it hurt us. Maturing and changing. Actually, it's interesting that there is one person in the Bible. He wasn't God. He was an ordinary man. And he said the same words, more or less, as Jesus said on the cross. Do you know who that was? Stephen. Stephen was stoned. Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? When he was stoned, he looked up and he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. My, oh my, that means it's possible for me to say that and you to say that when the stones are hurling at us. Don't hold this sin against them. It's fantastic, isn't it? Jesus said it and a person said it. It's a possibility for us. I'm going to end with a testimony of God's love for a 92-year-old woman, a distant relative actually. And I know she'd been married to a card game called Bridge, Because although she had become quite sort of dement, she was able to take a taxi and go to her bridge team and play bridge. She hadn't thought too much about Jesus. It became apparent. But God arranged something. I suppose you could call it a pre-arranged affair, a pre-arranged appointment, step by step, for something to happen to this distant relative of mine. Some of you know that I used to be a teacher, but I've worked for a number of years in residential homes for the elderly in my home village. Wonderful job, I love it. For obvious reasons, I don't work on a Sunday. I don't put my availability in on the internet on a Sunday. I had a phone call on the Friday. My boss said, look, we are in such a predicament. Would you be able to work on Sunday? Oh, yeah. All right, I'll work on Sunday. So I was there at 6:30 at the Rose Garden, the residential home. It's about 20 people there and a number of staff. The night person who had been there at night, only one, gave a report saying that Birgit, my distant relative, my father's second cousin's wife or something, that she had been, they were very surprised that she was alive this morning and she'd turned the corner a bit. Because in the night, the relatives were called and her daughter had come to sit at her side. But alas, she was alive. A little later on, I was dashing around in different rooms and getting everybody washed and dressed and to breakfast. My distant relative, the daughter, came out and she said, oh, you look really good. It looks like that religion of yours is doing you a good favor. And she told me very boldly that she belonged to something called One World. And she said, we take in the environment, we do sort of healing on each other, and we take in all religions, even Jesus. I said, Jesus, you cannot have, I said. But anyway, she was doing great marketing for this One World, you know, and she said, it's wonderful. You should come to one of our meetings. Yeah. So I wasn't coming into Birgit that morning. Some other staff were. So when we were having coffee, everybody was taken care of and had had their breakfast, and it was about maybe 10, 10:30. My cousin suddenly came out of her mother's room and beckoned me to come in. She said, come in. And she said, my mother has told me that she died in the night, but that she wasn't welcome into heaven. And she is very, very anxious. Very, very anxious. And she said, Gunnel, I've tried everything I can, and I can't calm her down. One World. She said these words, I hand her over to you. Do what you want with her. Oh, why? So I went up to the bed and I said, good morning, my darling. This is Gunnel speaking. Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. You know I have a very strong faith. I know that. I believe that you want to get into heaven. I do. Then we shall pray together. You and I shall pray. Just tell the Lord you want him. Tell the Lord you want to come into heaven, that you are sorry that you had turned your back to him. I am sorry. Let's do the Lord's Prayer together, Birgit. Now everybody, even a bridge enthusiast, knows the Lord's Prayer. So we prayed the Lord's Prayer together, and this calm came over the whole room and over Birgit. And I said to her, that's all it takes, Birgit. You're ready. You're ready for your journey. Soon you will hear the music and heaven will open its doors to you. And I thought, I better not say another word. And I sort of walked out of there and I thought, this is why I'm alive. This is why I live. What a graceful thing for God to let her come back in the morning, although she had died in the night. I really believe that. She said it herself. And when I walked out, I was just waving at my cousin sitting there, my third cousin sitting there a bit. And she's still since spoken a bit to me in very positive terms. But it just shows God's love. He meant for me to work that Sunday to revive Birgit so that she could just pray the Lord's Prayer. He's just so full of love. Now, this is the last verse, and this is such a wonderful verse. It's from Zephaniah 3 and 17. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Do you think God is singing for you? He obviously is. It says that God is singing for you. He takes great delight in you. You know, sometimes it's so hard to receive the full impact of God's love. We doubt sometimes. We think, well, could it be me? Can you love me that much? Oh, yeah. He can love us that much. I need a revelation of the size of his love. All of us, let's take yet another step into understanding the size of his love, because it will change us in so many ways on the inside, in our giving out, when we can have that amazing confidence of how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. Thank you, wonderful God, for the size of your love. Help us today, even today, to understand more, to have a revelation of the size of your love for you, for us as individuals, as well as for a church. But for you as an individual, he has that marvelous, endless love, to the point where he delights in you and he even sings for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we? God, thank you. Let's stand together. Let's stand, close our eyes and lift our hearts to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've got a few moments before the kids come back, and just in the peace and really taking to heart what Gunnel's been sharing with us, lift our eyes to heaven, lift our hearts to Jesus, and let's allow his love afresh just to touch our hearts, fill our hearts, change our hearts. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Just as the musicians minister to us, let's just relax in God's presence. Open our hearts to him. Put other thoughts out of the way and focus on Jesus and his love for you. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God.
Let's stand. Let's really fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end. Jesus. Let's just focus our eyes, tune in our spiritual eyes on the face of Jesus this morning. We really want to praise him for who he is. We need him to touch our hearts.
Dear Holy Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning to meet you personally, to have an encounter with you. Jesus, we ask you to come and open your minds, open our minds, open our hearts for your presence, for your words. And we are so thankful, Jesus, for everything you did for us, for your work on the cross, that we are able to step right into your presence, to hear your voice, to feel your touch. And we love to be with you, Jesus. We love you and thank you for this church service. Thank you for this morning. We welcome you. Please have a seat with us, Jesus.
Amen. Could we just have the words of the first song, the first verse of the first song, up here on the screen? Okay. Can I recommend one word to you this morning? One word. The word is engage. 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 Prayer, praise, worship, all has to do with one thing, and that is us engaging with God. That means like two things coming together. You know how like a cog engages with another cog? They come into contact, they connect. And so it's so important that we really were in our words. We're not, they're not just coming out and, oh yeah, they're up there and about, like, you know, three quarters of the way through, we finally engage. And we all know what that's like, don't we? But in our hearts, really engage with the words. That means thinking about what we're singing. So we've got this wonderful song here. Praise is rising. Eyes are turning to you. So the praise comes from our hearts, and we must turn our eyes on him. We must fix our eyes on him. Hope is stirring. Is it stirring? Are our hearts yearning for him? Good, I'm glad they are. In some cases, they're probably not. God, help our hearts to yearn for you. If you find that you can't sing the songs because they're not true in your heart, then you can say, God, help me. I'm not yearning. Help my heart to yearn for you. We long for you. Lord, I long to long for you. Put a yearning, put a longing in my heart today. We turn our praises and our worship into prayers. We connect with him in our hearts. So let's really fix our eyes on Jesus this morning and really sing this song to him. Okay? Stand if you can. As we were singing that last song, and this word I said at the beginning, engage, engage. We need to try to engage with the words that we're singing. And I was meditating on the words of that song, which were, some of the songs that we sing are quite personal, aren't they? They're like the songwriter's thoughts. And so we have to find something in there that we can believe and that we can identify with. And I was thinking about, what is the simple gospel? And what does he mean about not measuring up? Well, the truth is that none of us measure up. Is that right? The truth is that we have all felt ashamed, and rightly so. But the other truth is that Jesus came and took all our sin and all our shame on himself on the cross. And he forgave us all our sins. That word religion that we were singing, what does he mean by religion? To me, empty religion is when we are singing things that we don't mean. That's partly it, when we're doing things that our heart isn't in. So God this morning wants to involve our hearts, doesn't he, in everything. So as the children, they're going to just read some songs about the love of God. Gunnel in a minute is going to, later on, share about the love of God as compared to the love in the world, and there is no comparison. And these scriptures are inspired by God. They're about true love, about what love really is. So would you like to come forward?
Brilliant. We've got George and Eliza and Aseli. Do you want to come in the middle? And George is going to read the first one and the last one, and Aseli's going to read the second, and Eliza's going to read the third. They're from all different parts of the Bible, all from the New Testament, about God's love.
Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15, verse 13.
God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9 to 10.
For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3, verse 16.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. We're going to take the offering. And again, I want to encourage you, keep your hearts engaged. We're going to sing a song about God's love and the expression of God. So what was the greatest expression of God's love? Who can tell me? What was the greatest expression of his love? Sending Jesus. And in the life of Jesus, what was the greatest expression? The cross. It's the cross, isn't it? It's the cross. I love it when we sing songs about the cross. So we're going to sing a song, a joyful song, but it's a song about the cross, celebrating the cross. So, yes, give your offering, make it mean something, but as we sing, let's go on and really rejoice and celebrate in the death of Jesus on the cross. Let's stand.
Fantastic, fantastic. Welcome to New Life. If this is your first time here this morning, welcome. Welcome to New Life. Wonder if you take a seat, please. Hope that you've just made a good friend. Fantastic. Big welcome today. If this is your first time at New Life, welcome. Very special. You say that things come in threes. Well, amazingly and remarkably, the Stern family managed to have three birthdays. I don't know how they managed to do it, but they're just incredible, aren't they, the Stern family? So can we have, please, we've got Eliza and Joe and David. Give them a big, big round. It's birthday time. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now, David, the big question is, how did you manage it? What was the plan?
Well, I can't really say that it was part of my great master plan, really. It's just the way things turned out. If anything, I'd prefer not to have three birthdays in February because it's quite expensive. But here we are. Here we are.
Okay, the cake's coming. Ready for a big happy birthday? Are you ready, guys? And so we're going to sing happy birthday. Say happy birthday to you. And it's Eliza and Joe and David. Okay, you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eliza, Joe and David. Happy birthday to you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Woo! There we go, there we go, there we go, there we go. Let's stretch out our hands to bless them just before they go. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this family. We pray, Lord, your richest blessing upon them. Thank you, Lord, for this turning of a year. And we pray, Lord, for the year ahead, that you protect them, that you bless them, that you do amazing things in and through their life. In the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Give a big round, please. Fantastic. Wow, amazing. Amazing. There's 3 weekends coming up. Not quite yet, but in March, we've got 3 special weekends back to back. There's the 13th of March, and then there's the 20th of March, and then there's the 27th of March. We've got these 3 weekends, end of the month. On the 13th, we're going to celebrate together. As we're approaching Easter, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to have the bread and the wine here on the Sunday morning. We're going to have an amazing celebration as we focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus over this Easter period. And so looking forward to a really great time. So it's the 13th, Sunday the 13th of March. Afterwards, we'll have food. We'll bring some food and have a great meal together. Enjoy a celebration. So that's the first thing on the 13th. On the 20th, we've got a special Sunday. It's our safeguarding Sunday. As a church, we've got a real priority of caring for children, young people here in the church. And government policy has changed last year. And we've got a new policy. And Joe's put a lot of work into getting this off the ground. And it's we're going to introduce it, bring it into the church on that. So it's been the 20th, Sunday the 20th in the morning. And then on the 27th, it's Easter morning. Easter's very early this year, and so it's going to be Easter morning, and joining us will be Revelation Church and Chalk Farm Baptist, and we're going to have a big celebration here, looking forward to that inter-church time. time, and we'll have lunch together as well afterwards. So it's a busy weekend coming up in March. Fantastic. The children are going to make a move, but before they do, just a word is that the flame are in a different place today. And so flame are not going to just rush out. They're going to go into the lobby area there and just be gathered together and registered and then go together. For Tribe and Ablaze, be careful. There's a bit of redecoration works going on. So if you also want to be wise as you're traveling through there, and again with the creche, the sunbeams, again, just be careful as you've got some redecoration work going to go on. Nick, there's something happening after this morning. What is it?
One thing which I need all of your help with. We're trying to, we got a wonderful leaflet out when we had the International Day, but we need to develop our publicity a little bit. We're trying to get something that we can just, somebody's walking across the heat, they meet somebody, they want to invite them to church, a little card that we can give them. And in one sense, I think people have such a strange conception of church, but what is church? It's us, isn't it? And I like some of the cards and different things I've seen, which have just a picture of the church on the front. So Bob's brought along his camera. Now, you camera shy people, let me explain this. When people come to church, what do you think is in their mind? Probably all sorts of things. But I think one thing that is sometimes in people's minds is there anybody there like me? Yeah? So this is why we need the good, the bad.
No, don't say it.
Yeah. The less beautiful than maybe you once were, or less beautiful than Miss World or Mr. Universe. Okay. For me, the ugly. Okay. Because you never know, there might be somebody walking across the heat that isn't like going on the front page of Vogue. Okay. And they'd look at that picture and think, ooh, there's somebody there a bit like me. And the wonderful thing, what I like about New Life is that it's quite representative of the community. There's young, there's old, there's all different kinds, different backgrounds, races, and that's a fantastic thing. And that's what we want, don't we? More of the same. So really, Bob's just going to take just a few click, 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 click. It won't be cold. The sun's come out for us. We're going to be just outside the door. Children, babies, young, old, beautiful, not the most beautiful. Come on, I'm going to be there. Let's get out there. We're just after Gunnar's spoken, and no doubt there'll be a time of response, so we don't want in any way to spoil that. But at some point, we'll blow the whistle, and we want everybody to just herd outside for a short, hopefully pleasurable experience.
Thank you very much. Great. Children, young people, babies, now's the time to make your move.